because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
It's time for some straight talk. The big wireless companies charge a boatload for their superior network coverage. But guess what? Straight Talk uses the same cell towers but charges a lot less. Who knew? Well, now you do. And I do. So let's do something. It's time to switch to Straight Talk. Unlimited plans start as low as $35 a month on America's largest, most dependable networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
NASCAR loses one of its greats. I'm Kyle Rickey. That story next on NASCAR Today.
Motor Racing Network has always been your source for motorsports coverage when you couldn't be at the track. Now, never miss another minute of our breathtaking coverage with the MRN app, available on your iPhone or Android device. This free app delivers all the latest news, locates nearby MRN stations, streams your favorite programs, and is your home for live cup practice and qualifying action. Search MRN in the App Store or on Google Play. It's the Motor Racing Network at your fingertips, and it's available for free right now.
Introducing the Wrangler Performance Series, a collection of jeans and pants featuring the new Comfort Flex waistband and four-way flex technology that moves with you. It's the flexibility you need to get more out of every day and tap into your unrealized potential. See where more range of motion takes you. Wrangler Performance Series. Less restriction, more living.
2011 NASCAR Hall of Fame inductee Walter Bud Moore has passed away at the age of 92. Moore was one of the pioneers of NASCAR as a crew chief in the 1950s, turning car owner in 1960. He won championships with the late Joe Weatherly in 1962 and 63, and won 63 races in total, with the last coming in 1993 with Jeff Bodine. He said, though, one of his biggest accomplishments came just 6 years ago when he was inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Being in racing for 50 years like I was, and all the championships I won, and being inducted in the Hall of Fame like we did last tonight, it's one of the greatest honors I guess I've ever had.
See more on the life of Bud Moore now at MRN.com. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
Welcome back in, 6:05, hour number two in the books, hour number three about to get kickstarted here. The Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way until 7 o'clock tonight. College football playoff poll being released here shortly. We'll get to that coming up at the bottom of the hour. Changes expected in the top four, to say the least. Foreigner tickets have been given away tonight if you're just joining us looking for our daily giveaway, but those tickets go on sale this Friday, U.S. Cellular Center box office or online at Ticketmaster.com. We'll have another chance for you to come away with a pair of tickets to see Foreigner at the U.S. Cellular Center in March coming up tomorrow, sometime between 4 and 7, 6 o'clock showdown on the way. Plenty more to get to tomorrow as well. Lots of coaching news, coaching talk tonight on the program. We've even touched on the NFL a little bit with the news that C.J. Beathard likely will not start on Sunday for the 49ers as they take on the Bears. It's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo getting his first start for the Niners, at least according to reports out of San Francisco that Kyle Shanahan told his quarterbacks today that Garoppolo would get the start. So if you're a big believer in Garoppolo, grab him on the fantasy football waiver wire before they run tonight at midnight or 2 a.m., whatever your league settings are. We'll find out from Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com tomorrow whether or not there's enough upside in Jimmy Garoppolo to maybe take a flyer on him. Get us your questions tomorrow for Tristan Early, 319-366-1600. That's the number to use. It's the Hertine and Stocker text line. It doubles as a way to get in touch with us while we're on the air. And speaking of topics that we've talked about, we've spent the better part of the last two shows discussing Matt Campbell and Iowa State and the new deal that was announced last night via Twitter, because that's the way that everything happens nowadays on social media and Twitter. Jamie Pollard, the athletic director at Iowa State, saying, hey, keep your hands off my guy, Tennessee, and any other school out there that was even considering paying that $9.4 million buyout, which, by the way, you have to give Jamie Pollard credit for putting that into the original deal. If that isn't in the deal, who knows? Maybe Campbell is gone. And you got to stop romanticizing these college football coaches and college basketball coaches. That's all I'm going to say. If you're an Iowa State fan and you're in love with Matt Campbell, just understand this. Chances are really good at some point in time, he's going to break your heart. He's either not going to live up to expectations, he's going to leave. The chance, it's like they say about throwing the football. Lots of things can happen. Only one of them is usually good. You catch the ball for a big gain. Everything else that happens when you throw the ball, bad, detrimental.
Who came up with that?
I don't know.
Was
but
it
it's,
Kirk Ferentz?
No, you know what? That sounds like that's either going to be Bud Grant or maybe Bum Phillips would be my guess. I don't know. We'll do some research into the genesis of that saying. But college coaches, whether it's football, basketball, whatever, they're just going to break your heart at some point in time. And same thing can be said for any coach in the country. It's not specific to Matt Campbell. But bottom line, he's not going anywhere for the foreseeable future. Iowa State stepped up to the plate last night, made a big financial commitment to him. His salary jumps to $3.5 million immediately. He's under contract now through 2023. It's part of our poll question tonight at KGYMradio.com. It has to do with Matt Campbell and Kirk Ferentz's current deals. Campbell signed through 2023, Ferentz in Iowa City through the 2026 seasons. Do they make it to the end of those deals? Yes or no? We actually give you a couple more options than that. Check it out, KGYMradio.com. Emil's Hideaway is the sponsor for the poll question. You can visit them on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. And when you do, tell Jamie and the gang that you heard about him on the Todd Brommelkamp Show on KGYM. We'd really appreciate that. Matt Campbell. I'm not a big fan of 9:30 press conferences, and it made it difficult for me. I wasn't able. I actually thought last night I went back and forth, 50-50. Should I go over to Ames and make my presence known? And then I thought, well, no, people from Des Moines never show up in Iowa City for the most part, so I think it's just safe to be here, sit here and be lazy, just like those guys do with Hawkeye stuff a lot. So here we go via the miracle of the Cyclone Radio Network and the affiliate feed and God knows however else we got this, but here is a little bit of what Matt Campbell had to say earlier today. And by a little bit, this is a significant chunk of time here. So if you've got 8 or 9 minutes to invest with us listening to Matt Campbell discuss why he's staying in Ames and how Jamie Pollard convinced him that this was the place for him and his family, it's worth a listen to even if you're not an Iowa State football fan. But here we go. Earlier today in Ames, Matt Campbell talking about his new deal with the Cyclones.
Like I said after the game, I'm really excited that we were able to get to this point. I'm humbled and grateful for, obviously, Jamie Pollard, our administrative staff here, President Winterstein, you know, and her vision for, you know, athletics and our football program and, you know, the ability to continue to push the envelope of our football program forward. You know, I think one of the things that was really important is the ability to, you know, make sure that we continue to grow forward with our football staff, taking care of our staff, our players in the future, you know, the vision of what we're going to do, you know, with facilities going forward, and the ability to continue to build this program and take the momentum that we've been able to create and continue to push that forward. So with that said, I'll certainly open it to you guys for any questions you might have for me.
Matt, how will yesterday's announcement help you recruiting going forward? How great is it to get this behind you in that sense?
Well, I think it's really great to just get behind you. You know, I you really don't focus on that when there's football games going on. You know, the recruiting part you do. But, you know, what was going on around us, and, you know, it's just this time of year, it kind of picks up, and you know that. And I think one of the challenges a little bit was, you know, you get sick of hearing that question, and as it plays out in the media, naturally, if you're 18, 19-year-olds, and you're going through the recruiting process, and their parents, they begin to have those questions. And I think to be able to put a stamp on stability of, this is what we're doing, we are who we say we are, and this is where we're going in this football program, and being able to put some validity to that, I think that was really big. You know, it certainly gave us a lot of momentum with our own players that we do have committed in this class, and I think it's also given us some really good momentum with some of these, you know, 19, 20 recruits that we're trying to continue to, you know, do a great job recruiting. So hopefully I think it's already had a really good effect, and I think it'll continue to have that effect. And you know, I think as we continue to build a program in the right way, you know, I think that'll continue to have positive effect for it as well.
Did you hear from recruits, or maybe not directly, but indirectly, about wondering what the heck was going on with your job? Number one, and number two, it's been crazy the last 4 days, 5 days, including Tennessee. What's going on? Is this a product of the early signing date? What part does that play to?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think this is our profession that we're in is crazy. Like, it really is. I'm not a big fan of the craziness that goes on. You know, I'm a big fan of taking, you know, being around our kids and coaching football, and, you know, then, you know, we're a young staff. I'm a big fan of, you know, being around my own family. So that's what's important to me. The craziness that goes on in our profession really isn't. So, you know, I think for me, the reality of, do recruits ask that question? They have, you know, and that's, we're young, you know, I get it sometimes in the world of young coaches, they think everything's bigger and better. You know, the grass is always greener somewhere else. But I, when you're having success, I think that's a good thing that people are asking, you know, what's going to happen in terms of recruiting. But, you know, you asked that question after the game, Randy, about, you know, where are you going to be? What are you going to do? Well, you know, everybody's asking that question. And I think until you do it and you put some validity to who you are and what you say you are and actually have consistency to that, you know, I don't think an 18, 19-year-old kid today in recruiting, who do you trust? What do you trust? So I think this was a big step from that aspect of, you know, this is what Coach Campbell said, this is what he's going to do, and them, you know, really believing in that's what he was going to do. So, you know, hopefully that aspect of it has played out. But have we heard from a lot of kids? Shoot, we did. We did before the game. We did after the game. You know, and I think that's the unfortunate thing sometimes, too, with social media and the accessibility of social media for these guys. You know, our guys are, you know, our own guys are looking at that stuff. So that's where I think communication and being honest and open is really, really important from my end of it. And I get it, and it's not going to change. And that's where communication's, again, from my end, real important.
Jamie talked yesterday about the dinner that you guys had Sunday, where it sounds like a lot of this kind of unfolded. I wonder if you could, you know, take us there and tell us a little bit about that process. It certainly seems like an atypical way maybe for this to get done.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that, you know, one of the big reasons for me to come to Iowa State was Jamie Pollard. And that's really honest. You know, when I had the opportunity to sit down and meet with him, for me, it's about people. And, you know, when you make decisions by putting yourself around great people. And, you know, what I really liked about Jamie is, if you know me, I'm not even interested in talking about this subject. Like, this is a subject that I don't even like to talk about. It's not even interesting to me. I want to win. And all I cared about the last 4 to 5 to 6 weeks of the season is winning football games. And one of the things I really appreciate about Jamie is not talking about this subject, not pushing this subject on, not sitting down to have to talk about it. And, you know, the only thing he'd asked me a week ago is, hey, can we, next Sunday, can we sit down and, you know, would you come over and have a chance to sit down and just talk? You know, that's what I really appreciate. That's why I want to be here. That's why I want to be around people like that really get it and that let you, your aspirations of all this, that it's great for the media, it's great for everybody, but the reality of it, we have a football team. We're building a culture. We're not even close to being where we need to be yet or where we want to be, but we're doing it relentlessly every day, and him allowing that to occur and not putting this, you know, pushing that on there. So I really appreciate it. You know, the informalness of it or formality of it is I appreciate him having my wife involved. You know, for me, it's always, you know, a family atmosphere. We love where we're at. We love Iowa State, you know, and so the opportunity to even involve her, I really appreciate that about it from Jamie. And I think it tells you everything about the leadership he provides for this university and, you know, really what he's done here because it's been remarkable.
Matt, in your sort of preamble here, you mentioned the bump for your staff and how much that means to get that. And I know that's sort of par for the course in these situations, but can you talk about maybe elaborate more on that, what they're getting?
Yeah, you know, I to me, any success we've had here in the first 2 years has really come down to two things. It's come down to a coaching staff that's really been, number one, willing to move their families and to be able to really relentlessly impact and empower their own players, to unify a vision that we really had for Iowa State football. And then number two is the ability, the other piece of it, where I think this facility aspect of it for our own players of, you know, we wouldn't be here if we didn't have great player leadership and player buy-in value. The trust that this senior class, this outgoing senior class, their willingness to stay the course with us, like they didn't have to trust us. They didn't have to buy into what we were bringing to the table. And you could easily said, hey, there's a lot of schools in the country where they don't buy into you and trust into what you're doing. So I think those two things were really great to see, the vision that those things are important to the university, that how do we better our student athlete experience? How do we continue to provide them the resources to be the best they can be? And these coaching staffs, it's not about the head coach. The head coach is great. Whatever, I get up here, it's because I sit up here and talk, but it's those coaches that go day to day in there, and they're the ones that are sacrificing equally as much as anybody else to kind of relay that vision. That was really important to me, and so I just appreciate, you know, the respect and certainly the recognition of that, you know, in this process.
You came here because you thought you could win. Now you've won some games, and still kind of the national narrative is, oh, well, he's going to go somewhere else because you can't win there.
Right.
So what have you learned from the 2 years you've been here to allow yourself to make another commitment like this to this place?
Well, I think the thing I've learned is, you know, you're right that you hear that, and I said that, you know, in the middle of the season, it almost fuels my fire. You know, it's like I feel like my fire is raging more today than it was 2 years ago when I got here about where we can take this football program and what we can do here. And, you know, you almost feel like what we did this year, it's like it's a fluke, you know. And so you take that fuel, you add it to your fire, and you just put it in your back pocket and know that, you know, we are just getting started, you know. And it's a gradual growth to build a real program and to sustain it. And I think the reality from my end of it is there's not been one day that I've ever been disappointed that I came to Iowa State. And, you know, that goes to our fan base. That goes to the ability to build this. And there's been some tough days, you know, but there's been some great rewards of it too. And to watch this senior class and what they've been able to do to kind of flip the culture has been really rewarding. But, no, I think there's just a lot of fire that rages in me right now about where we can take this program and what can happen with it. And, you know, changing that national narrative, it's gonna take time. We know that. And consistency of success is what changes the narrative.
Hard to argue with anything that you heard Matt Campbell say there earlier today. That was just a little bit of the beginning of the news conference. Matt Campbell meeting reporters, many voices you probably recognize if you've listened to this program for quite a while. Chris Williams from Cyclone Fanatic and now KXNO was in there, Tommy Burch, Randy Peterson. The bottom line is Iowa State's reputation isn't going to change overnight, and Matt Campbell knows that, and all those people out there that are saying that this season was a fluke, and there are a number of them, you're putting a little bit more weight on the chip that's on his shoulder, and they're going to use that for fuel on the recruiting trail and going into 2018, and they're going to use it going into the bowl game, wherever they wind up heading. We talked with Tommy Burch earlier today, Camping World Bowl in Orlando, which is the former Tangerine Bowl, a possibility. I've seen the Cactus Bowl being thrown around, which is the former Insight Bowl. Just changed name. It's changed name several times since the Hawkeyes have played there. Iowa State has played in that bowl game back when it was the Insight.com Bowl. I think they played Minnesota, if I recall correctly. And the Liberty Bowl, also an option on the table for Iowa State, where the Cyclones could wind up playing Memphis, right?
It's a very good, well.
If you were telling me about this earlier, Memphis has a couple things in front of it if it loses the AAC championship game this weekend, and one of the options is they could stay at home and play in the Liberty Bowl instead of going to the Birmingham Bowl.
It looks like the Liberty Bowl, based on the lack of SEC teams that will be bowl eligible.
Burt!
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, Burt.
Could flex their option and choose to keep the Tigers at home for bowl season for the first time in the history of that game.
You know, while we're talking...
If they lose on Saturday.
Well, and what was the score the last time that they played Central Florida?
I don't remember. That was a while ago.
I'll tell you what, they got blown out, but not to give away strategy on the Carl Ennerny's pick six this week. We are picking the AAC championship game because Alex is on my team and I want the inside advantage here. But all these reports, Scott Frost to Nebraska is a done deal. I've seen teams be distracted by less going into a championship game. I'm going to be riding the Memphis Tigers and the points on Friday on the Carl Ennerny's pick six. We'll make those selections on the gym class at about 3:45, and I have a feeling Alex is going to be taking the points in Memphis as well. And speaking of, congratulations to your brother. I saw earlier today, probably because you retweeted it into my feed, but
it's a good possibility.
Gabe has started 50 games.
It will be his 50th career game.
Will be
on
this
Saturday.
Weekend. And that is a Memphis school record offensive linemen.
But just a school record.
For any position.
For any position.
Wow.
And, yeah, so he will end up starting 51 games, obviously barring injury. And it's been a wild ride, and I couldn't believe that Saturday potentially was the last game at the Liberty Bowl, at least the last regular season game at the Liberty Bowl.
Can't wait until Mel Kuhn Jr. is breaking down Gabe Kuhn when we get ready for our draft preview.
Small hands, huge head.
You could be describing a number of people that I know, and I'll leave it at that. I don't want to get in trouble. 6:24, small hands will get you every. Was it small hands, smell like cabbage, carnies? You guys know what movie I'm talking about. Hey, the college football playoff poll has been released, and we'll get to the details. Who's in the top four? And what teams from the SEC, hint, hint, are 5 and 6 in this week's poll, plus another big board update for you on the way if you stick around with us for just a few more seconds. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. Back with more after this.
Back in 1947, when young Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, he could pick up a pound of coffee for just 33 cents. Prices have changed a bit since then, so now, 7 decades later, $70 would be a very nice windfall, and $700 would be absolutely spectacular. So in honor of Hertin and Stocker's 70th anniversary, you can register right now to win one of 70 $70 gift certificates Hertin and Stocker is giving away. Drawings begin on Black Friday and continue through December 18th. And on that final day, one person's name will be drawn to win the grand prize of a $700 gift certificate for their store. Stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and register for your chance to win. And be sure to wish a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
You've got your rake, your gloves, and plenty of leaves in the yard. Now you just need to know what to do with them. Well, it's pretty easy. The City of Cedar Rapids divides the city into quadrants and picks up every other week. The schedule's at cityofcr.com/leaf. But you can make it even easier when you sign up at crnewsnow.com. Sign up with your street address and the city will send you a text or email reminder when it's your pickup week. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up today at crnewsnow.com.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
It truly is silly season at this point. That Arizona State job is like a flame that's just attracting every moth in the college coaching world. We talked Herm Edwards is apparently interviewing for the job this weekend, and now on some radio show somewhere in the ether, former Texas coach Mack Brown has indicated that he might be interested in coach. Look, if you've ever been to Tempe, you know why some of those guys would be interested in going there. It's a nice place. It's a fun, especially if you look. Bielema would have been a great fit there. Maybe not so much for Mrs. Bielema, but
Mack Brown said this on the flagship station for the Arizona State Sun Devils in the city of Phoenix. He was on one of their afternoon or their drive time programs there in Phoenix and said this.
Just hoping somebody was maybe listening in.
Who's from the next
athletic department.
Is Jimmy Johnson going to throw his name into the ring?
319-366-1600.
Where's Howard Schnellenberger these days?
We got an email one time years ago about getting Howard Schnellenberger on the program for some reason. I can't remember what he was pitching. It was like, I don't want to say it was prostate cancer awareness. It was weird and it was random and it was Howard Schnellenberger and I can't remember whether we had him on or not. Does that make me a terrible host if I can't remember the guests that we've had on the program before? I think we had him booked, and then something fell through. He either didn't call or his people didn't call or something came up, and we had to drop him, like breaking news. We had to move on from him. But I do recall at this point there was some sort of snag, I think, that kept Howard Schnellenberger. By the way, going back to the quote about three things happen when you throw the ball and two of them are bad, Ed on the text line in Iowa City letting us know, of course, former Ohio State coach Woody Hayes.
And that makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah. 3 yards and a cloud of dust. Speaking of Big Ten football, good news for one program. They are inside the top four of this week's college football playoff. We'll tell you who that is when we return after this break. But before we can do that, we got to squeeze in another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa cornerback Josh Jackson burst on the scene this season to lead the country with 7 interceptions and 25 total passes defended, and today he was officially recognized as the nation's top defensive back, receiving the Jack Tatum Award. This is Iowa's second recipient in the last 3 years, the first time that that's been done since Miami did it in 02 and 03. Jackson was also named the first team All-Big Ten, along with linebacker Josie Jewell, whose 125 tackles led the Big Ten and was third in the country, while Nathan Budgeta, Anthony Nelson, and Ben Neiman all received honorable mention. Iowa's Michael Kemmerer was named the Big Ten Wrestler of the Week today. The nation's third-ranked 157-pounder has won 8 straight matches, 3 of his last 6 coming against other top-7-ranked opponents, including Riders number 7 B.J. Klagen last week. Iowa's basketball team is in Blacksburg tonight to take on Virginia Tech as part of the Big Ten ACC Challenge. The good news for the Hawkeyes is that reigning sixth man of the year Nick Bear will make his season debut tonight, and Ahmad Wagner will also be back after missing the Hawkeyes' last game last week. The game is set to tip at 8, and you should be able to see it on ESPN2. Tonight after our show, it's a pair of girls' basketball games. We've got the girls from Iowa City West traveling to Cedar Rapids Jefferson on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We'll also have the Solon girls hosting South Tama on 106.3 FM, the South Gym.
All right, good night of high school basketball programming on the way tonight. Check out KGYMRadio.com for more details about all of our upcoming broadcasts. And while you're there, you can also read about those foreigner tickets that we're going to have for you tomorrow as well. We've got tickets all week long. They go on sale Friday at the U.S. Cellular Center and online, Ticketmaster.com. Foreigner coming to Cedar Rapids on Thursday in March, 28th, I believe. I just actually clicked off that window to look at something else on the website. So plenty more coming on. And yes, it is South Tama earlier tonight. I said Tama. My apologies to South Tama girls basketball action at Solon on 106.3 FM, our South Gym. If you have a former NFL or college coach that you know who may be interested in the Arizona State job, please let us know on the Hurtine and Stocker text line, and we will forward their names to Tempe and ASU, because it seems like everybody and their brother who's unemployed right now wants to let Arizona State know, hey, we're interested in the job. Sun Devils, obviously not inside the top six of this week's college football playoff poll. Who was? Well, if you haven't been near a TV and you're relying on us for that information, it's coming up for you next. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM. Back after this.
It's the Ford year-end sales event.
I can't wait for you to meet my parents.
Yeah, can't wait. Oh, here's a spot.
Can you fit?
Just watch.
I am, and so is my family. Why are you taking your hands off the wheel?
And park.
The Ford Edge, with available enhanced active park assist, makes parallel parking very impressive. They're gonna love you. That's Ford, America's best-selling brand, now with exclusive holiday offers. Get 0% APR financing for 72 months, plus 1,000 Ford credit cash on select Fusion, Focus, Escape, Edge, and Explorer models. Hurry, offer expires November 30th, 2017. Best-selling based on 2016 sales. Driver assist features are supplemental and do not replace driver's attention, judgment, and need to control the vehicle. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for 1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by November 30th, 2017. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details.
Hey girl, have you done something new with your scales? Using new moisturizer? Nice. It really brings out the hazel in your eyes. Oh, hold on. Are you using whitening strips too? Your fangs look good, girl. Really good.
A really charming snake charmer? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
Wait, what? Have you been doing Pilates too?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here with another important holiday message from KFC. This year, don't waste your holiday vacation cooking dinner. Instead, waste it watching TV or catching up on sleep. And let me prepare a home-style meal for the family with a KFC $20 fill-up. That's 8 pieces of delicious original recipe chicken, 2 large mashed potatoes and gravy, a large coleslaw, and 4 biscuits. Just $20. All right, get along now. That TV isn't gonna watch itself. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Available for a limited time only. Pricing and participation may vary. Tax extra.
Welcome back in, 6:33, the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on KGYM. All three frequencies right now up until 7:30 tonight. We'll get you a little bit of ESPN nightly programming, and then it's high school basketball on the horizon. Iowa taking on Virginia Tech in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. That is a late tip-off tonight, and we'll have that recap for you tomorrow, win or lose. We'll have a Hawkeye guest to break down Iowa's performance in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Top four of the college football playoff poll for the week. What is this? Week four of the poll, correct?
Yes.
Clemson is your number one team in the poll. Not really a big surprise there, right? Auburn comes in at number two, followed by Oklahoma at number three as they ready for the Big 12 title game this weekend against TCU. And number four, they're headed to Indianapolis to take on Ohio State and the Buckeyes. It's the Wisconsin Badgers breaking into the top four. On the outside looking in, everybody always wants to know who's five, who's six. It's Alabama and Georgia, fifth and sixth. The rest of the top ten, Miami plummets all the way to number seven. Then it's Ohio State and Penn State. I think that sets up very nicely for Urban Meyer and the Buckeyes. And USC is number 10. If you really care about the rest of the rankings, TCU was 11th, followed by Stanford, Washington. Central Florida is at 14, and their athletic director is not happy about it on Twitter. Notre Dame comes in at number 15, followed by another Big Ten team, Michigan State. LSU at 17, then Mike Leach and Washington State at 18. Oklahoma State 19, Memphis 20, followed by Northwestern 21, Virginia Tech, Mississippi State, NC State, and Fresno State grabbing that 25th spot. Alex, your thoughts?
As soon as I saw Fresno State climb into the top 25, I knew that this was going to set up well for Alabama because that is another going to be another top 25 win on their resume. Not necessarily one that they're going to want to hang their hat on, but Alabama needs the favorites to win in the conference championship. They need Wisconsin to lose to Ohio State because I think, as Mitch Sherman said, they have enough of a separation, three spots between them and Ohio State, to where if Ohio State wins, I think Alabama is going to have precedent over the Buckeyes. They're also going to want Clemson to win as well, because if Miami wins, I still think that there's a chance that the ACC could get two teams into the college football playoff. The winner of the SEC championship is going to be in. The winner of the ACC championship is going to win. As long as Oklahoma wins this week, they're going to win, and that leaves one spot, and there are a few teams right there vying for it. Wisconsin, Alabama, Georgia, and Miami, as well as Ohio State. I think everybody beyond eight is on the outside looking in, but some teams are going to, like Alabama, are going to have to sit at home and just hope that other teams take care of them and give them a chance to get into the college football playoff. Wisconsin, if they win, they're in. They're 7-point underdogs. I don't think Ohio State will be able to jump Alabama if they win, but the stranger things have happened, especially judging by the fact that Ohio State somehow has finessed their way back into the discussion.
Your thoughts after hearing the top six this week, share them with us on the Hertine and Stalker text line or give us a call, 319-366-1600. So you think this sets up well for the Big Ten?
Yes, if Wisconsin wins.
If Wisconsin beats Ohio State,
they're in.
They're in.
There is no question about that.
And Ohio State then is
out.
Is out.
If Ohio State wins.
What about Penn State lurking at 9?
I don't think that they will have a chance to get in because they won't have that extra win on their resume. So I think that Ohio State is really the only hope. But sitting three spots behind Alabama, you almost think that Ohio State would have to have a very impressive win over Wisconsin, similar to what they did a couple years ago with Cardale Jones, and maybe not to that degree where they won by 57 points, but they're going to have an impressive victory to show the committee that what they did here in Iowa City a few weeks ago was just a blip on the radar and an outlier compared to what they have done the rest of the season. So I think at this point they're probably out, but like I said, winner SEC championship, winner ACC championship, definitely in. And if Miami wins, it'll be interesting to see if Clemson also gets in as well, because I think there's a very good opportunity for that to happen unless Wisconsin was able to win the Big Ten championship.
Is there anything about this week's playoff release that surprises you? I think everybody saw Miami dropping precipitously and they fell to number 7. Anything jump out at you?
Not necessarily surprising. I know Danny White, the UCF athletic director, is not happy with the ranking. And to see Stanford, a 3-loss team, in front of them again, especially a Stanford team that lost to a non-Power 5 school early in the non-conference in San Diego State, I just don't quite understand why that's happening. But UCF, despite the fact that they have a chance to finish undefeated, they're not going to get into the playoff. And I think that that's obvious at this point. But other than that, I think things shape up the way that I expected them to. And I just am looking at Ohio State and thinking they're probably on the outside looking in, but there's always a chance that that program can find its way into the playoff. And they've shown that they get certain opportunities that some other programs do not.
All right. And does any of this stuff really affect Iowa or Iowa State? You said earlier in the office, the answer is definitely yes. The conference championship games this week, especially in the Big 12, could have impact on Iowa State and where the Cyclones may be heading.
If TCU beats Oklahoma, that knocks Oklahoma out of the playoff, and TCU is probably not a playoff team, even if they beat Oklahoma with those two losses. So both of those teams would end up in New Year's Six bowls, and Iowa State would be higher on the bowl pecking order, which could be the difference, would probably be the difference between them going to the Camping World Bowl and then or ending up in Memphis in the Liberty Bowl. So that's something to keep an eye out for, not necessarily in the Big Ten as far as playoffs are, the playoff is concerned, but Wisconsin and Ohio State and Penn State, you just got to look to see if all of those teams end up in New Year's Six Bowl. That could elevate Iowa's bowl pecking order as well, and I know we didn't put a ton of stock into it, but I was reading Brett McMurphy college sports analyst or college football analyst's bowl projections earlier today, and he said that he has people telling him that there is still a possibility that Iowa could end up in the Holiday Bowl if the Holiday Bowl has to choose between Northwestern and Iowa. His people are telling him that they would choose Iowa if the Big Ten would sign off on it.
I was going to say, I think in the under the old setup where it was completely up to the bowl games, Northwestern probably loses out to Iowa 9 times out of 10 in that. The current climate where the conference has a say in bowl selections and where teams are headed and with the contracts, with a 2-loss, you're talking about a 9-win Northwestern team and a 7-win Iowa team. I don't think the Big Ten pushes Northwestern down past the Holiday Bowl. I think that's just a pipe dream at that point. But you know what? Brett McMurphy's got better sources than I do. I'm just a schmuck sitting behind a microphone in eastern Iowa that covers the Hawkeyes for a living. The Holiday Bowl, and I've said this before, I think I said this about an Outback Bowl a couple years ago, and it wound up coming true. So maybe, Hawkeye fans, you want a little reverse psychology here. I just think it's a dream at this point. There's too much strange that would have to happen in order for Iowa to even be in the discussion there. But I think Northwestern, with the season that they've had, and they're riding a winning streak. I mean, that's a hot team going into a bowl game. Iowa's had 2 big blowout wins, and in between they cratered for 2 games. Plus, you can't get past the 7-5 record, at least from my standpoint. And the best-case scenario, and again, we still have people who are joining us late who are asking on the Hertin and Stocker text line about the Iowa's calling it a mistake. But earlier today, some people, some eagle-eyed watchers online, saw that Iowa had added the Music City Bowl to the Hawkeye Sports website of upcoming events, the lineup of future games for football and the rest of the Hawkeye sports teams. And there is a screenshot, and it's floating around, and people are getting really, really excited about Nashville. They say it's an accident. They say there's no inside information involved, that they were readying a number of pages for the eventual announcement this weekend. I take them at their word, and I really caution people, if you're going to book trips, make sure that you buy insurance, because it may look like they're headed to the Music City Bowl, which I don't know how many people are going to fly versus drive. I've flown to Nashville before. It's not a very long flight. It's not a very long drive either, and especially if the weather would be clear, I think people would like to probably have their own car while they're there to get around and everything, but that's just me, a guy who really, really loves Nashville and, as such, probably won't be getting to spend any time there this year.
Well, I think that the Holiday Bowl, yes, it would be higher on the bowl pecking order, but it seems to me, based on the people that I've talked to, and not just you, not just the people that will be, the media members that are going to be traveling to whichever bowl game Iowa plays in, the fans want Nashville. It doesn't matter that the Holiday Bowl is higher on the pecking order. Yes, San Diego is awesome. San Diego is amazing this time of year or any time of year. But I think that the proximity, the fact that they haven't played there, and going to play in Nashville, a lot of people have their mind set on that. And as we saw, and as we've heard, I think the Iowa Athletic Department does as well.
319-366-1600, that's the Hertin and Stocker text line. You can use it to reach out to us today here on the program. The other story that has gotten a ton of traction, but I would think if there was going to be movement on that front, we would have heard about it by now. Mike Gundy, the Oklahoma State coach, reportedly did meet with Tennessee officials today, and according to someone who used to be on the air here in eastern Iowa, one of those Tennessee officials was Peyton Manning, who apparently is signing off on, Coach Peyton Manning signed off on the Greg Schiano hire, which, as most of you probably know by now, didn't happen, and that's why we're still talking about Tennessee having an opening. But Mike Gundy, an Oklahoma State alum who has been there for over a decade, I believe he's, what, top 3 in tenure among college football coaches behind Kirk Ferentz and maybe one other coach at this point. I think this is a leverage play. I think he's trying to get something out of Oklahoma State to keep him from leaving. I don't necessarily know if he'd be a great fit at Tennessee, although you can make all the mullet jokes you want. And people on Twitter earlier today, he's got an offer. He just needs to mullet over, stuff like that. Yeah. Bada boom. I can't see him leaving for that job, and I think that puts Tennessee back to square one. And I know I do occasionally listen to Tyler's new show in Knoxville. It's not new anymore. He's been gone for a really long time, but we still listen to each other's shows. And I know he and his co-host have been talking about, you know, this is seventh or eighth on the list now. You go down the list of names, and at Tennessee, John Gruden was numero uno, which that was a pipe dream and never going to happen. But this is now officially a tough sell, because the person walking in knows how far down on the list they were, and the fans know that you're settling for your seventh or eighth or ninth. And they were outraged by Greg Schiano because of a number of reasons. They're not going to like whoever gets announced. If it's Jeff Brohm at Purdue, they're going to look and say Western Kentucky in a 6-6 year in the Big Ten, not good enough. They're going to look at Dave Doran at NC State, and they're going to say not good enough. They'd look at Mike Gundy and say not good enough.
And that's all well and good. Great, because Mike Gundy's not going there. Jeff Brohm isn't going there. And Dave Doran isn't going there. And no 1753. Gary Patterson isn't going there either. I think, and you can tell me how right I am about these things all the time, I always said that Scott Frost will absolutely be the head coach at Florida next year. That really turned out to be correct. I think T. Martin, the offensive coordinator at USC, is probably, in the end, going to have to be the guy. He played there. He won a national championship there. He's one of the more highly sought-after offensive coordinators in the country. And that might be as good of a name as they can get to come to that job right now.
If you've got a divided fan base and Tennessee, I think they've got a united fan base. They're united in anger at John Curry, who's only been on the job for 8 months in Knoxville, and this is his first major hire, and he blew it with Greg Schiano. I think the best way to go here for Tennessee is you got to hire one of your own. And the only way that you're going to get everybody on board, same way with Nebraska. I think whoever Nebraska would have hired to replace Mike Riley, and again, the assumption here is it will be Scott Frost. If they had to hire somebody like Brett Bielema or somebody who wasn't a Cornhusker, there's going to be a large faction of the angry fans who would just remain angry until proven otherwise. And it takes too long to win people back if they're not in your corner. So Nebraska makes the wise choice here. They go out and get Scott Frost. You can't get angry when you hire one of your own. And so you may be onto something here. Tennessee, I think, is going to have to go out and get somebody with ties to the volunteer program. Maybe it's T. Martin. Maybe it's somebody else, because if you bring in anybody else right now at this point, that mob mentality is going to say, we did it once, we can do it again. We can save the school from making a bad hire. But look at all these other jobs, and they've been filled, and Tennessee hasn't. How far have the volunteers fallen in the college football pecking order? Nebraska, Tennessee, all of these teams that 20 years ago were perennial top 10 programs, and we're sitting here talking about them struggling to fill vacancies, or in Nebraska's case, not struggling to fill vacancies, but struggling to find a successful successor to going all the way back to Tom Osborne and then Frank Solich, which one of the funniest things I heard in the postgame, Nebraska postgame, on our drive to Omaha, Rob Howe from Hawkeye Nation and I on Friday after the game was over, was one of the co-hosts on the postgame call-in show, who's a former Husker, his name escapes me, said that 3 years wasn't enough time to turn that program around. And Rob and I looked at each other. I didn't really look at him because I was driving. My eyes were on the road. But I said, turn it around. It was a 9-win program. When they fired Pelini, not because of results. They fired him because he was a jerk. They didn't like his attitude. So it's not that Nebraska needed to be turned around 3 seasons ago. They just wanted a different guy in charge. And Mike Riley, unfortunately, turned them around, headed them in the wrong direction. That being said, you won't find a negative word said about Mike Riley from the Nebraska media. They had a tremendous amount of respect for him and his wife. Sounds like a class act. Met with the media, apologized to Nebraska fans for not doing a good enough job, not winning enough games. Let's not forget, 3 years ago when they fired Bo Pelini, he had an impromptu press conference in a high school gym. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And absolutely burned Nebraska to the ground. It's the difference between Bo Pelini, who, by the way, is doing quite well at Youngstown State. But once you burn a bridge, it's really hard for another school to hire you to build a bridge for them because, well, your track record speaks for itself.
And I apologize, 1753, he was just saying that, or the texter was just saying that Gary Patterson is also one of the longest tenured coaches in college football behind Kirk Ferentz.
And a guy who found a spot and was comfortable, just like Matt Campbell says he is in Ames.
I think one of the more intriguing openings in the SEC is created by Dan Mullen going to Florida, Mississippi State. And the reason I bring this up is because there's some Big Ten ties there. One of the biggest rumors, or one of the leading candidates for that job, is offensive coordinator Joe Moorhead at Penn State. And I think that would be a heck of a hire if Mississippi State could do it. And that might be the best job right now remaining in the SEC based on the stability, based on the expectations there, and a much more friendly atmosphere than we've seen at Ole Miss, or they already filled their vacancy, but we've seen at Arkansas and LSU and Georgia and some of these other programs that have filled vacancies and are looking for new coaches these past couple of years.
6:53, couple more minutes tonight before we hit the top of the hour. ESPN programming right around the corner. High school basketball coming up for you on all three frequencies at 7:30. Kyle's going to tell you about it next, back after this.
H-E-L-P. Help. It's not a four-letter word. It's something to be proud of. After all, everyone needs support now and then. That's why the Iowa Department of Public Health created YourLifeIowa.org, so you have access to information and treatment for alcohol, drug and gambling problems, suicidal thoughts, and more. From experts dedicated to the health of all Iowans. We're your everyday life support. Visit YourLifeIowa.org to learn more. Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
Your business's computing needs are a lot like a symphony orchestra. Each instrument on its own doesn't seem like much, but when the wireless isn't talking with a tablet, and that isn't in tune with the desktop, it's a mess. Network Computer Solutions is in the business of putting it all together in perfect harmony. Network Computer Solutions creates, fixes, and otherwise improves your company's networking computers, and that tunes up your profits. Call 247-7223. 247-7223. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at tryoninvestments.com.
All right, a couple minutes to go here, and just to taking a look at a rather interesting story. We may or may not get to this list tomorrow on the show, which could tell you where we are at in the dog days between the end of the regular season in college football and the wait for the start of conference play in college basketball. 11 smells that are slowly disappearing. Number two on the list is burning leaves. We had a ton of leaves from the backyard.
What about cereal being manufactured? Is that, nope, that's still here?
That is still here, and I understand that there's a movement afoot to get Cedar Rapids to manufacture Cinnamon Toast Crunch, because we've talked about it on the program before. Here's the deal for my friends in the cereal industry here in Cedar Rapids. Don't do it for me, because I'm cutting out the carbs right now. I will come back to cereal eventually, but for right now, I love you, I appreciate your product, but stop the campaign to move Cinnamon Toast Crunch production to Cedar Rapids. Back with more and a final Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Here's Kyle.
Iowa cornerback Josh Jackson burst on the scene this season to lead the country with 7 interceptions and 25 total passes defended. And today he was officially recognized as the nation's top defensive back, receiving the Jack Tatum Award. This is Iowa's second recipient in the last 3 years, the first time that's been done since Miami did it in 02 and 03. Jackson was also named first-team All-Big Ten, along with linebacker Josie Jewell, whose 125 tackles led the Big Ten and was third in the country, while Nathan Budgeta, Anthony Nelson, and Ben Neiman all received honorable mention. Iowa's Michael Kemmerer was named the Big Ten Wrestler of the Week today. The nation's third-ranked 157-pounder has won 8 straight matches, 3 of his last 6 coming against other top 7 ranked opponents, including Riders number 7 BJ Klagen last week. Iowa's basketball team is in Blacksburg tonight to take on Virginia Tech as part of the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Good news for the Hawkeyes is that reigning Sixth Man of the Year Nick Bear will make his season debut tonight, and Ahmad Wagner will also be back after missing the Hawkeyes' last game last week. That game is set to tip at 8 o'clock, and you should be able to see it on ESPN2. Tonight after our show, it's a pair of girls' basketball games. We've got the girls from Iowa City West traveling to Cedar Rapids, Jefferson. That'll be on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym. And we'll also have the Solon girls hosting South Tama. That's going to be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym.
Georgia Tech on top of Northwestern, and Florida State ahead of Rutgers in the early Big Ten ACC Challenge games. The marquee contest tonight, number 17, Louisville at Purdue. Iowa still an 8.5-point underdog at the moment to Virginia Tech. We'll have that game broken down for you tomorrow. 6 o'clock showdown on the way, plus Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com will answer your fantasy football questions as well. All that and more on tomorrow's version of the show. Thanks for listening.